Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, titled, It's All About Jesus. This is part 2.
And that's what true love is founded on as Christians, as believers, in our relationship with the Lord. True love is founded upon our faith that is based in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We mentioned in our prayer time. And folks, some of you may not be Omega, but you really ought to be here for the prayer time if you can be, because I'm telling you, you need to be a person of prayer. Now, don't take me wrong. I know some of you drove a long way. Take me wrong. I'm not chewing you out or anything. I'm just saying, some of you can't be here because of work or distance. Sometimes you're going to be late. But if you can be here, just saying, if you can be here, try to get here for that. Because we have to be people of prayer. We do this on purpose. You may think it's a little long and drug out, but we do this on purpose. The dead church is a prayerless church. These churches, even the fundamental ones, sometimes you go to and you just, it's dead. Why? Because they don't pray. And singing. I don't care if you don't like your voice. God does. Sing. Amen. Sing. Even if you're whispering it, just make a joyful noise. People who are right with God love to talk to Him, love to sing about Him. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you, that's just reality. If you want to check your spiritual thermometer, how much time do you like to spend just talking to the Lord and singing about the Lord, in addition to studying His Word? Because there's a lot of people that get into the book, but they've still got a dryness. Or maybe I should say it this way. Their kindling's wet. It won't burn. They got plenty of kindling, but it's wet. You ever heard of that? That's a hillbilly thing. Read verse 15 with me. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So we've got that combination. We should daily pray for each other and thank the Lord for each other. Amen? Again, not judging or wanting to hear out loud confessions, but how often do you pray and then thank the Lord for the Christian family you got here? Not just Pastor Greg and thank you for the fact he teaches the Bible. I'm glad you do that. But I mean for everybody. We're a body. Read verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That hits me. I don't do it enough. I'll confess to you. I need to give thanks more. Make mention of you in my prayers more. I pray for you, but I need to more. I admit that. It's as we sang in the song, though. Oh, even so, come quickly. Here's where we are today. Unity without the truth is all the rage. That's what's going on today. Let's all just get in a big building with a lot of people singing, but let's not really have any unity that's based in truth. They have unity without the truth. It's a false unity. But our prayers for one another should focus on our spiritual growth. You need a job, I'll pray for that. You need a healing, I'll pray for that. But over and above everything, I pray for any of you here today, and it should be the same for me and for everyone else in this room, when you pray for one another, is their spiritual growth. They could have a great job, perfect health, and still be totally wasting their lives not living for the Lord. We want spiritual growth. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And that comes with prayer and Bible study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. It's not just reading, it's studying. Digging. That's how you. If you want the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that's how it's going to come. And that is the theme of this long sentence that we read this morning. Verses 15 to 23. As we continue, we see exactly what Paul's prayer for believers consisted of. He describes it, explains it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, we've been going over this. He's repeating that what He's been teaching in the previous 14 verses, He is now saying, that's what I teach it because that's what I pray for you. I love you and I pray for this for you. all of which we discussed in our previous studies. And then he continues, verse 19, read that. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That is fundamental doctrine. That Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. And then for 40 days, he taught his followers things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then he ascended to heaven, promising that he would come back for us. That's fundamental Christian doctrine. And Paul might have stopped there and taken for granted that his readers understood what he meant. But for our sakes, he did not stop. Thank you, Jesus. Paul will now elaborate on the resurrected Christ in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Folks, it's an amazing thing that... People are out here seeing me, but I got to plug this in before the battery dies. Sorry about that. But Jesus, when he ascended, not only physically, but in a very real legal sense, he is above all principality and power and might and dominion. He's above every name that is named. And that's why it's so perverted and sad that on a day where one of the great preachers passes away and a purple pervert passes away. And who does the world talk about? The purple pervert. Amen. And this guy is even called by some a conservative Christian. Did you know that? Yeah, because he was a part of the Jehovah's Witness thing. And he did speak out against gay marriage, I guess. Believe it or not. Meanwhile, his lyrics were perverted. Pornographic. His performances were pornographic. He is one of the people who has turned the Super Bowl into a complete disgusting mess. And I haven't paid much attention over the years, so I don't even think we watched it in 2007. But in 2007, I have the picture I showed it on our Facebook page where he used a silhouette where the light made him look giant behind a fluttering quilt or something like that. And he used his guitar to simulate a, just trying to put this as clean as possible, a male erection in front of a billion people. Supposed to be a family event. Now, just like I said, shame on the 10,000 and not just Joel. Shame on the NFL. Shame on these professional sports organizations who didn't condemn that sex act in front of millions of children. If he were to do that in the privacy of his own home, it's a crime, and he'd go to prison. But he can do it on television in front of a billion people, and nothing's said. And then when he dies, the world celebrates him. I don't celebrate the fact, but I just am telling you the fact. If Prince Rogers Nelson, his real name, believed what he said he believed, he right now is in hell. Put that in the New York Times. Put that on the internet. The reality that people need to understand is you can't be a male whore and a complete pervert and just because you mention God, go to heaven. He never confessed to believe the gospel. He never professed to believe that he had trusted in what Jesus Christ had done for his sins. And according to the scriptures, Prince is not resting in peace. But that's the weird fairy tale land everybody lives in. And they want to stay there. They don't want people like me poking and prodding them with the truth to wake them up to the reality. They would rather just float through life. Well, I got news for you. I'm sorry, but it ain't happening. Not around me, and I hope not around you. We're here. You might want to write this down. We're here to be hated. Did you understand that? If you are sitting here this morning thinking that God left you here to be loved, you've got a perverted view of God. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Not because, we always want to be careful, not because you're a jerk, but because you're telling people the truth. We must see ourselves in the light of God's purpose for us, not in the light of our own opinions of what we want in life. Not in the light of our own pride and desires. There's a passage thereby rips out of context. God says, you know, that He will give you the desires of your heart. And so they're like, oh, well, I want a Lincoln Continental and I want $1,000 a paycheck every week instead of the $500 I'm making, and I want this and I want that. No, it's saying that your desires will change. He will give you the desires of your heart. It'll no longer be the pride and all the nonsense you had before. Those desires disappear. He'll now give you new desires. That's not what's being taught, though. For example, whenever we suffer, I didn't say if. I didn't say if. Look at that. Whenever we suffer. That's what it says. 1 Peter 4:16, we are told to suffer for His glory. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And Paul elsewhere says, if any man live godly, he shall suffer persecution. And we don't do it for our glory, we do it for His glory. Another example, in all we do, not just in suffering for Jesus, in all we do for His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And we've got to see ourselves in God's purpose for our lives and stop trying to make the Bible match our personal opinions on the matter. Because you're just going to frustrate yourself to the point where you become disillusioned. It just doesn't work that way. Three times in this chapter, as we've studied it, Paul writes that our lives are to glorify Jesus and His grace. Not us. Like Morgan Freeman standing there talking about, God is the best person in me. The person I meant to be. The person I... it's about glorifying Jesus and His grace. Here's the three examples. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Ephesians 1:12, we should be to the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1:14, unto the praise of His glory. That, if you've got that as your purpose in life, you're on the right track. Amen? That's the right track. It's all about Jesus. It should automatically bother you when you go into a church and they don't talk about God. All they talk about is you. That red flag, red flag. And hath put all things under His feet, Jesus, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Who? Jesus. Which is His body. Whose body? Jesus' body. The fullness of Him. Who? Jesus. That filleth all in all. It's all about Jesus. And that's how it all ends, folks. It's not just supposed to be that way now. It's supposed to be that way now and forever. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Every name. Amen. We've got to get that, because the spirit of the age is that, oh well, there's many names. Amen. That's what's good. No, there's only one name. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One name. Verse 10, that at the name of what?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Every knee should bow. Every knee, including Muhammad, including Buddha, including Morgan Freeman, including Joel Osteen, including Obama, including every man and woman who's ever walked the face of the earth. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That sums it all up. Amen? Amen. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, amen, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Not going to be confessing anything about any of us. Not going to be confessing anything about any other human being. Confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what it is. We need reminded of that. We need to remind others of that. We need to get that really as a part of what we're about. We're all about Jesus. Amen? Amen. We're about people falling in love with Jesus. Amen. We're about people falling in love with the book authored by Jesus about Jesus. Amen. We're about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that sinners can be saved and go to heaven and be with us, with Jesus. John 14, you remember when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, if I go to prepare a place for you, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. And then he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Only Jesus. If you really believe that and you stick to your convictions on that, you are an enemy of this world. And I want you to take that very seriously this morning. If you believe the words of Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of this world. The world opposes you. You need to wake up and understand this. I'm talking about the movies. I'm talking about the music. I'm talking about the media. I'm talking about the news media. I'm talking about the local schools and the curriculum in the schools. I'm talking about 90 out of 100 churches think you are a bigot and that you are an enemy to peace. And you need to ask yourself, am I willing to be counted an enemy of this world as a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I willing to suffer loss to stand for the truth in these last days? Am I willing to die to myself and be completely sold out serving the Lord Jesus Christ come what may? Even if the whole world hates you, just like what happened to Noah. That's a serious thing I want you to really pray about. Not answering to me. This is between you and the Lord. Not just right now in this meeting, but when you wake up tomorrow and as you go through your week, as you go on the job or you go out into the world to do things or in your own home, around your own family in some cases. Is that real to you? Is that a real commitment that you've made? Because that's what it takes. If you're saved and you want to please the Lord and grow spiritually, that's what it takes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this very serious message. And we thank you for the truth that we have in the King James Bible, our source of absolute truth. From a holy, infallible God, we have an infallible book. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and helps us to understand these things. And Lord, I pray by the power of your Spirit, the authority of your Word, that everyone here this morning will make the choice to surrender completely to your purpose in our lives, even if that means losing some friendships or losing out on material things, losing when it comes to the way the world views us, and understanding that many people will turn against us and not desire to be around us at all if we stand up for the truth of the Word of God. It's nothing compared to what you have done for us. Every one of us deserve hell. And yet you died on the cross, shed your blood, pay the full price for sin, to save the undeserving sinner. By grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I just pray, Lord, for this message going out by different means, different media, that you really touch people with the Word of God being preached and really convict the hearers. And may Jesus be glorified. We thank you in His precious name. Amen.
Don't need that old King James, and I get a crazy look. when I tell him I believe God's word. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Jesus died for our sins. In 3 days he rose again. No matter what men say, the way is narrow and the gate is straight. Is the only way to heaven.
Second verse.
There are so many people in this world traveling on the Broadway. The King James Bible is the truth. Listen to the gospel, it's good news. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the King of righteousness. You can believe God full, and you'll live forever if you look to Jesus as your only hope for heaven.
Sing out that chorus.
Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Jesus died for our sins. In 3 days he rose again. No matter what men say, the way is narrow and the gate is straight. Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Say that one more time.
Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Straight is the gate. Died for our sins. In 3 days he rose again. No matter what day.